Hey everybody, this is Megan Jocks with Revelation Wellness Nashville. Thank you for joining me for another podcast, another installment of Truth and Life and Light. And today I have a special guest with me, and I'm so excited to get to have her sitting actually next to me. She's generally not in the United States, so this is a real honor, a real treat, a real blessing from the Lord just to get to have my sister with me. So her name is JP. JP, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell my friends here what you do, where you're normally at, because you're normally not here. So introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jennifer Paul, and I love being tall. It's amazing to be over 6 feet. I'll just say, shout out to my tall women out there. It is good to be who you are created. Anyway, I am a missionary in the UK. I serve House of Prayer Europe, leading worship and leading others into the presence of God. And I feel just as Megan has been called to release others into their identity, God has asked me to bring transformation and breakthrough simply by being who it is He created me to be, into other people's lives. And just so thankful to be here today with my Amazonian sister. We're great, really. Us tall people, you should give us a break sometimes. Just saying. Yeah, Megan, you're such a blessing to my heart. And I know these podcasts have changed me, have met me in places of darkness and confusion. And yeah, I just bless your ministry. And everyone who's listening, this is like wisdom that has come through fire and has come through perseverance. And it is such a blessing to receive from this woman. I bless you, Megan. And yeah, very excited to be here.
Thank you. Okay, so today we're going to be, well, actually, let's just open up in prayer. Let the Lord just kind of bless this time and space, because as you know, as the last couple of podcasts have been a little bit heavier, and we need some help with that. We need the Holy Spirit to come and decipher truth for us and what it is He's asking us to do individually. I can share my personal experiences here, but we really need the Holy Spirit to speak to us individually. So Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for another opportunity just to come and just to bring truth, God, to stand on the front lines for my brothers and my sisters and just be a mouthpiece for you. God, I pray that each and every individual's heart, Lord, would just be open. God, that we lay down what we think we know, Lord, so that you can implant truth within our hearts, Lord. Father, I just thank you for who you are, God, as a loving Father. How you're so patient with us, God, how you're so gracious with us, Father, how you never give up and you're jealous for us. You come after us. Just like the story of the 99 sheep and the one that went astray, you went after it, Father, that you don't leave us to wander. You don't leave us out in the wilderness, God, but you leave the rest of the flock so that you can come and find us, Lord. So, Father, we just stand in agreement for that truth, God, that you have not left us, you have not forsaken us, God, but today you are bringing new truth, new life, new love into our lives and into our hearts, God, that we may step forward in freedom and in power, Lord. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so if you guys have been following the podcast the last couple weeks, I've been sharing some of the fruit from a 33-day fast that I had went on last month. And it's been a couple weeks, and the kind of main jewel of this fast, I haven't really shared with you guys yet, because I've really just been working it out. I've been spending some time meditating, figuring out what all God wants to do. It was kind of like I had a part of the puzzle, but I wasn't seeing the entire thing put together. So I didn't know how to bring it to you guys, but now I feel like I'm in a lot better place to do that to you, to give you a whole much bigger picture, a much bigger understanding of what my experience was, how the Lord has set me free on a whole new level. And hopefully that will minister to you where you're at and be able to free you in a similar way. So as I was mentioning before, this 33-day fast, it was 30 days liquid, 3 days water. And I didn't really know why the Lord was having me go on this fast. I had told him and verbalized to him that I felt a disconnect. I kept asking him certain questions, you know, how should I do this or what should I do? And he would answer. And then it was just like there was a disconnect in my obedience. It was kind of like, well, I'll take it or leave it. But then I'll keep asking God the same questions. How should I do this? How should I do that? And then continually just kind of being complacent about my reaction to what he actually said. And I didn't like what I was seeing, but it just seemed like I didn't know how to get to the root of why I was doing that. So I just kind of cried out to the Lord, expressed how I felt, expressed what I saw, and then just said, what do I need to do? And that's when he spoke to my heart and said a 30-day liquid fast. It was a day or two into that fast that I felt like the Lord was just speaking to me. After he told me to do the fast, I didn't ask why. I didn't ask how that had to do with anything that I had been talking about. I just started stepping into obedience. So within the first couple of days, I heard him speak to my heart and say that this fast was going to eradicate idols in my heart. I didn't know what he was talking about. To my knowledge, the only idol that I had was coffee, and that wasn't any surprise. Right. I break up and get back together with coffee all the time, but I knew it had to be deeper than coffee. To eradicate means to pull out and utterly destroy, to demolish. So it seemed like with the word usage that the Lord had picked, that this was going to be something much bigger, much deeper than just my love for caffeine. So instead of trying to figure out what these idols were, instead of trying to read into everything and really striving for the answer, I had a piece of it, and that's what the Lord had spoke. And I just basically kept walking in obedience, knowing that he was going to fill in the blanks. He was going to be faithful to show me what these idols were. So as the fast went on, there were some things that had happened, just different times that I was ministering. I was traveling a lot during this time, just speaking at different retreats and being at different conferences. And I really felt more prepared while I was on that fast to engage in the type of ministry that I was doing in those places. And I was thankful. I really felt like the Lord had already went before me. He was preparing my heart without me even knowing. By walking in obedience in this fast, I was just in tune a lot more than I think I would have been had I just been kind of doing my own thing and not really engaged with the Lord on a personal, intimate level, like the way that fasting really does a lot of times. So anyway, but we hadn't got to the idols. We'd been doing work, we'd been ministering, we'd been pouring out, but I hadn't gotten to the idols yet. So about 20 days in, I was sitting on my couch and I had this overwhelming sensation of just anger. And I started thinking about these past relationships for some reason. This is not a normal thing for me. This has never happened to me before, but I was sitting here and I was thinking about a particular male friend that I had had when I was younger, and we were just friends. There was no relationship there, but I just was really angry because I felt like I had really been taken advantage of in that friendship, that in my brokenness when I was younger and when I was so desperate to have value or significance to anyone, especially males, it caused me to do a lot of things. It caused me to really strive in relationships. It caused me to really go out of my way to make sure that these people were happy and pleased and felt loved and felt seen. Really, everything that I wanted, I made sure that the other person had and they were feeling. And when I was looking back at this, like I said, it just kind of popped in my head and I started feeling really angry. Like I had just gotten used so much over my life, especially in the male relationships that I had been a part of. And when I was sitting there, I'm like, oh my gosh, like those turds, like they just took so much advantage of my brokenness. And how dare they? And then, you know, God was sitting there with me and just kind of saying like, yeah, but like that was their brokenness using your brokenness. So everyone's just broken. So we can't really just be mad at that person, but really kind of seeing my young brokenness in a whole different light now. And it really caught me off guard that I felt that way. Like I said, I don't spend time in my day thinking about my past relationships, my past male friendships, any of this. I promise you, I don't. So it really caught me off guard. And anyway, so that kind of sat with me. After I was done with that, I was like, that was so weird. That was so strange. I kept going about my fast, and it was about day 25 into my fast. I was sitting with my friend JP, who is here with me today, and we were at this worship festival. And I just started talking to her. I just asked her to pray with me because some things just weren't matching up. It was kind of like there were these strange things happening in my life, and I just couldn't see how they fit together. And when they fit together, because I knew they fit somehow, what I was supposed to do with them. And the other thing that had been happening to me over the past year was that almost every single night I have very distinct dreams, and my dreams generally include a male from my past. And these aren't sexual dreams, but it doesn't matter. It's still really annoying. It's any male pretty much that I had ever been friends with or had some sort of close friendship with, any male that I did date or didn't date, it really didn't matter. But in my dreams, it felt like there was an affection towards these people. And when I woke up, I was so annoyed and frustrated because I'm like, why are these people in my dreams? Again, I have no conscious feeling or emotion towards these people. By the way, like being married, that's really unsettling to have these dreams and just be like, why are these people in my dreams? I could care less about, I mean, don't take that wrong. Like, I love people and, you know, hope the best for them and that they're walking with the Lord. But as a married woman, fully, happily married and in love with her husband, I really don't care to have dreams about males from my past. It's just not a thing for me. So the fact that this kept happening and happening and happening like every night, it was just frustrating and irritating. And I kept asking God, what is going on? Why do I keep having these dreams? I would try to process them. I would try to like figure out if maybe God was warning me about something for that person, because some of my dreams are prophetic and God does show me some things, but it was just really disturbing. So when I was talking to my friend about these two particular instances, the anger that had come up and these dreams, she just really spoke life. God had really positioned me to receive what she had to say, and it had to do with spiritual bonds, spiritual ties that we have to people. I don't have a lot of experience with spiritual ties. Maybe you do. Maybe you're familiar with this thing. But everything that I had ever learned about spiritual ties with people had to do with being physical and having sex with them. Well, because I was a virgin until I got married, I was kind of like never really entertained that idea, or at least not to, you know, great lengths, because I just didn't think that I had really created them. But something that she spoke to me when she said, anything or anyone that you go to other than the Lord for something you should get from God is creating a spiritual soul tie. Is that pretty much what you were?
Yeah.
Kind of? Yeah. So correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm new to this. So that really ministered to me, because when I started thinking about these past relationships and what I was really looking for at that time in my life, both of my parents worked a lot because they were both single parents. So I just consistently through my childhood felt insignificant, unseen, unheard. And even though they did the best that they could, the facts are when you have two children and you're the only one providing for them, you're gone working a lot of the time. So any male that would give me some type of attention or make me feel like it could be the smallest sliver of worth or significance or value, I just put my whole effort into that and just tried to take whatever I possibly could gain from that. And so when she said that, I kind of freaked out because I'm like, oh, crap. Like, I have spiritual ties all over the place because I was looking for my significance everywhere and anywhere I could possibly find it. If we're no longer talking about creating spiritual ties by having a physical relationship, but now it's open to anything or anyone you go to for something that you should solely be finding in the Lord, like, I just had a lot out there. And another thing that she had shared with me was about how the Lord was wanting to inhabit all of my being, but I kind of had all of these hands stretched out, spiritual hands kind of everywhere else, that it was making it hard for the Lord to completely inhabit all of my being. Right?
Yeah, totally.
And that made sense to me. And again, like, I just started freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this could be the never ending list. Like, where do we start? And I think you kind of saw like how like overwhelmed I was that we're going to be praying for a really long time.
Wasn't that long.
Breaking off these bonds. And so what I want JP to do and what she's going to do here in a moment after I kind of wrap up the story is lead us through some of the prayers that she led me through forgiveness and breaking off spiritual ties, because that really changed things for me. And I want to kind of just testify that instead of being overwhelmed with like, oh my gosh, like how many spiritual ties do I have out there? Who am I tied up to? Oh my gosh. I just sat with the Lord, and she was really great about just speaking peace over that and just taking it like one at a time as God brings them up to you, as the Lord brought them up to me. So now it's been really awesome. Anytime that I have a dream, instead of being like upset, being mad, being annoyed, being frustrated, I am extremely excited because I look at it as opportunity. God's giving me to do work and to cut off some spiritual ties. So it doesn't matter if it was like my best male friend when I was in first grade or if it was somebody I dated in college. Whoever the Lord brings to the table, I'm breaking off spiritual ties with, because he's bringing it to my attention for a reason. And I will honestly say, ever since we did this and ever since I started doing work with these dreams, looking at the dreams, seeing how they play out, seeing what happens in the dream, seeing the other people's reactions in the dream, what I'm looking for in the dream, what it seems like I'm needing from that person or that relationship in the dream. I sit with the Lord. I journal out the dream. I ask God to just show me what I was looking for in that relationship. And then I take it before him and we cut it off and we forgive and we take back. And my dreams, I have stopped having dreams. Maybe I'm having them once every week, maybe every 2 weeks now. But the awesome thing too is before I've never dreamed about Ryan. We've been married for 9 years. I think he's been in maybe 5 dreams ever. He's never really been in my dreams, and that's been frustrating as well. I would go to sleep trying to think about Ryan, trying to have a dream about him opposed to anybody else, and it just wouldn't happen. And now Ryan is in my dreams, and even if there is another male in the dream, Ryan is right beside me throughout the entire dream, and we're kind of addressing the dream together, which never happened before, and I'm so thankful for, like, so absolutely thankful for, because like I said, like, being married, it's hard to talk about that out loud because it feels weird, even though it's your dream, even though you're not actively participating with something during the day or consciously, even the fact that it even comes up in your dream. And where Ryan and I in our past have had marital issues to do with infidelity or whatever, like, you just, when you get free from all that and you know your identity in Christ and you're not even trying to play anywhere like that ever, ever again, when you're having dreams like this, it's really disheartening and frustrating and irritating. So I'm more than overwhelmed with joy and thankfulness to the Lord to search my heart and show me some depths that I wasn't even aware of. That's why obedience is a gift to us, friends. Absolutely. Obedience is a gift. If I wouldn't have asked the Lord what to do, or if I would have blown off the fact what he asked me to do, a lot of people would look at that and hear like 30-day liquid fast and go, yeah, that is not what I'm going to do. That does not fit into my day. That does not fit into my plan. And I'm not making myself look great for doing it. I'm saying it was hard. It was very hard. I had to have high accountability to do it. But obedience, when I saw it from the other side and seeing how the Lord has freed me from such a bondage of years and years, now I can see how these spiritual ties have really tied me down, have really affected me over the years. Not even, like I said, not even consciously engaging in behavior. But they're there. The spiritual ties are there. Once they're created, they're there. And so I just want to encourage you guys that if you have been in past relationships, if you have tied yourself, if you've made internal vows, if you've said, you know, I will always love you, I will always dot, 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 I will just, I'll let JP kind of talk about more of different types of internal vows that you make and how you make them. But I want to encourage you to start asking the Lord, going on this journey with the Lord and saying, God, is this for me? Do I have spiritual ties that need broken off? Show them to me. Get quiet with the Lord. Any name that comes up for you, write it down. He can explain it more to you later, but don't just dismiss it. Don't just say, oh my gosh, like, why would I have a spiritual tie to that person? Like, I saw them, you know, five times in third grade or whatever. He is faithful to reveal these things, but we're so quick to dismiss and to negate what the Lord is saying that we never get full healing because we're just consistently blowing off what he's saying. So JP, can you explain to, first I want you to explain how spiritual ties, what God has revealed to you about spiritual ties, how they are created and formed, and then prayers that we walk through to walk through forgiveness and breaking off the spiritual ties.
Yeah, definitely. I also wanted to say real quick before that, just to reiterate what Megan opened up with, this is a personal journey. So it's easy to jump on the bandwagon of, okay, I'm going to like clean out my closet and get out a list and like start making all these things. And you can hunt through and then just start thinking, oh, everything's a soul tie. And that's a religious spirit. We don't want that. We're not, that's not what we're doing here. Like, this is inner healing that is led by the Spirit, led by God himself, who is in relationship with you. Because anything we try to do of ourselves and from ourselves will really lead not any place good. So I just want to encourage you, if you're feeling all this pressure now, like, oh my gosh, I have soul ties and I have people, just break that off right now. You're free. You're totally free. God has set you free, but there are measures of healing that we can walk. And what Megan is talking about is being disciplined and saying yes, but doing more than just saying yes, but doing the work with God. And see, when we partner with him, he leads us into what that looks like. So when I sat down with Megan at this music festival, I had no idea. I had no idea. I had understanding of idols, but I didn't know what path she was on. And the Lord started revealing it to me to usher her in and kind of help lead her, walk her through. So I'm not coming as like some kind of soul tie guru, please no. I've gained some knowledge and understanding from God, and we can all gain that ourselves, okay? So know that your healing and your relationship with God is unique to you. And whatever you've been through, he will meet you where you're at and bring you closer to him. When you give him permission to heal your heart and give him all of you, he'll be like faithful to take it, you know? And he does it so gently and so kindly. He never forces us, but he just woos us in with his love. And I just pray any of you who feel fearful that you would feel covered right now by the wings of grace. You would know that God is with you now in this moment, and that this is divine timing. You know, he wants to meet you where you are, and he wants to heal your heart, just as he met Megan in the field that day and led her through. Those of you who have been with her on this journey of inner healing and searching the Lord and meeting with him and choosing him and saying yes to him, you're faithful to listen to these podcasts, and he's faithful to meet you. Like I said, don't go on this witch hunt now in like trying to think of all these people. Know that God knows you intimately, and he'll bring up people. And it might not be everyone at once. That's okay. It's not about being perfect or getting everything done right, okay? He is the divine physician, and he knows you intimately. He knows your inmost parts. He formed you. And he knows what you can handle. And he knows what you're ready for and what you're not ready for. So don't try to make yourself ready for something you're not ready for, okay? Just be kind to yourself and let yourself be led. Even Jesus was led, okay? He was God, but he said, I only say what I hear the Father saying. I only do what I see the Father doing. So he allowed himself to be led, and that's what we're doing here. We want to invite you in to that intimate place where you can be led by the Spirit. We're just going to equip you with tools and to expand your understanding. See, Megan didn't understand all this stuff about soul ties and the idols and how you can make them, and now she's like, oh my gosh, like my listeners need to know this because it has changed her. So my understanding of soul ties is anyone or anything that becomes my source other than God. So if I'm looking for significance, if I'm looking for acceptance, and I go to someone other than God and they become that source for me, I can form a spiritual or a soul, like where my soul is being fed then by that person and whatever it is that they're giving me. Now, that's not to say it's wrong. Because look, God created us for community. He was surrounded by 12 disciples, okay? Fellowship is awesome. When we can encourage one another and build each other up and say, you know what, Megan, you're significant. You're my best friend. I love everything that you're doing on this podcast. That is good and is holy and is of the Lord. Now, if Megan starts looking to me, though, because I said that, and then she's like, oh, Jen is encouraging. You know, she's got this gift of encouragement. I'm going to look to her as my source of encouragement. Wrong. That's what can become that soul tie. See, a soul tie isn't just a one-off thing. So I don't want you to think, oh, because I can't be encouraged by anybody but the Lord. No, that's isolation. That's whatever, independence. He created us for community and to be encouraged by one another, to be lifted up by one another. Totally good. But when that becomes your source, then you're actually detaching from that which is meant for God. There's a part of your heart. All of you is made for the Lord. We are all created for worship and called to Him, number one. But then when we feel like, oh, this person is the source of my significance, or this person is the source of my worth, or this person or this thing is going to give me my significance, they can become an idol and we can form a tie to them. Does that make sense, Megan? Okay, so once we realize that, so I just want to make space right now. If you want to just get quiet in your mind, just like, okay, God, I'm hearing a lot about idols and soul ties and I don't really fully understand it, but I just invite you right now, Holy Spirit, to speak to me. And Lord, if there are any people in my life or any things, organizations that I have put my trust in other than you, put my hope in other than you, if anything other than you has become my source, Jesus, will you reveal that to me now? Any person that I have looked to before you, instead of you, will you bring their name to my mind? I just want to give you a moment to spend some time. Okay, so I even in this moment heard a person, heard a person's name. So I'm just going to walk you through what I would do for myself in this moment. So Lord, I break agreement with the lie that this person, you can say their name, is my source. Lord, I ask for your forgiveness for any way I have looked to this person instead of you. And Jesus, right now, by the sword of your Spirit and your truth, I sever the tie that has connected them to me and me to them in an unhealthy way. I return back to them what is theirs, and I take back what is mine. And Lord, now in every way I received from them significance, value, worth, I invite you to come and be my source. Lord, that you would reconnect to my broken heart and pour in your love and your spirit to restore me to wholeness, that I would know the fullness of who I am in you, and that I would receive everything you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so take that, do some work with it, listen to this podcast over as many times as you need to. I know when she was going through the prayer, I was thinking, I'm definitely going to be listening to this podcast several times. Whenever the Lord brings opportunity, right? It's never, God is so awesome. Like, he's never trying to torment you with your past. That's not him. And I think for a long time, I thought like the enemy was really trying to torment me with these dreams. But really, like, we have such a loving father that he was just trying to get my attention. I just didn't know what to do with it. And I, you know, it took me walking and asking the Lord in obedience, walking in obedience, I guess, just to be positioned. You know, like, the father is such a gentleman. He wanted to eradicate these idols. They needed to go, because really the idols that needed eradicated weren't the people. The people have nothing to do with this. The people are simply the carriers of what I thought they had that I wanted or could gain from them. Do you see how, like, it's really not about the people? And I think I had a lot of conflict about that, because I was like, what will people think that, you know, that I care about my ex-boyfriends or my whatever? Because I don't, in that sense. And so, but when you look past that, you look past the people and you go, no, it's really not even about the people. This is simply about my deep inner desire, my idol of finding significance in whatever manner possible. This is about my idol of finding value from people, and especially at that time in my life, males, where those idols were like a security blanket at that time of just consistently feeling insignificant and all of that. If I could find that in someone else, it became a security blanket. And then I could feed off of the memories of being significant to somebody at one point in time. So again, like, this is just an opportunity, an invitation. If this is for you, use it. Yeah. Use this. Don't run from it. Don't let the enemy shame you. But let's just walk in a new level of freedom here.
Absolutely. Yeah, and don't worry about the language. I know we've talked about a lot of different things. You're like, was it a soul tie or a spiritual tie? And is that an idol or is that a whatever? Just trust God, okay? If you've given him your life, he's going to lead you perfectly and flawlessly. And so all this started because Megan was asking questions. Do you know, like, ask questions. You don't understand. He says he gives wisdom to anyone who asks, like, ask. And yeah, it is really that simple. Like, it does not need to be overcomplicated. It is really easy for us to overcomplicate things, but God makes himself really simple for us, which is awesome. When it comes to things like inner healing and all those somewhat tangled, cobwebby messes of our traumas and past hurts, the Lord is perfect in the way that he heals us. So it is much better to let God heal you and give it time and trust the Lord than to try and do it yourself, okay? I had a picture when I kind of started this whole journey of inner healing and, you know, abolishing idols and all that stuff. And the Lord showed me myself on a table having open heart surgery. And he says, you know, you trying to do things is like picking up a scalpel while you're lie down and, like, just going to work. And he's like, please just let me do it. I'm so good at what I do, and I promise it'll be okay. You know, it's a scary kind of thing for some people to think about, oh my gosh, I have false idols, because that has a lot of terminology when it comes to the church. And
soul ties and what does that mean? But, you know, it's just a natural thing that we do when we're hurting and we don't know how to go to God.
And I think it can be scary too once you do identify them, letting them go. And once you really realize that deep down you were still kind of holding on to this security blanket of comfort or, you know, value deep down from a past life or past memories, to actually be faced with them and going, okay, you're gonna have to put the blanket down, and the blanket's gonna have to stay down.
Yeah.
The blanket's gotta go. I think sometimes that can be scary for us too, because at one point in this life, we gained some sort of value or worth or security or control from this time and place. And anytime our current world can get flipped upside down, our subconscious can run back to the security blanket, the time and space when we felt control, security, acceptance, worth, and kind of cover us up. And we can go back into our memory. We can go just to whatever it is that gives that back for a second. And when God pulls it out, you're saying, I will not run back there. Mm-hmm. When things get out of control in my life, I will not run back there. I will not run back to those memories. I will not run back to that person. I will not run back to that place. I will keep my feet firmly planted right here in front of the altar of grace.
Yeah. And please know that it takes a tremendous amount of courage for anyone to go on this journey. So we just applaud you for being willing. Like, you've hung on through these podcasts and some really heavy and deep stuff. And listen, you have a choice. There are a lot of people that say no to God. They're like, no, that's as far as you can go. I don't like how that feels. I'm just not going to do that. But the fact that you're willing to make a decision and say yes to God when it's hard, when you have to be vulnerable and exposed, and see things about yourself that you don't necessarily like, but choosing to trust God in that is the best decision you can ever make. Choosing to believe that He really is everything you need, and that when you let go of those false hopes or those whoever, memories, people, relationships, things that you felt gave you significance and worth, when you let go of that, you are free to take hold of God. And when you are fully immersed, I believe this, I'm not there at all. I'm not coming from any position of like, I've overcome, so woo, I'm better than you. Like, please don't think that, okay? We're all on the journey. But I believe with all of my heart that when we are fully positioned in God and we are able to let go, like, He carries us. It's not a matter of like, oh, now I have to like hold on for dear life. Like, there are times we just have to hold on to dear, like, to God and hold on to faith and stand. But then our hands are open to receive gifts, like abundance, joy. Like, He has so much more for you than you could ever ask or think. And every way that we compromise, because this is what we know as good, we haven't tasted the fullness of God's goodness. And He has so much more for you, but you have to let go before He can fill your hands. Mm-hmm. So we just impart boldness right now over the radio waves to you, to just be brave, to believe that God is faithful and that He sees you. And that because you said yes, He will meet you and bring you into His heart and into the fullness of life outside of lies, outside of compromise that He has planned for you.
Yeah, that's good. So hopefully, and I'm believing that this podcast has resonated with you. If you have any questions, if you're not sure about even how to hear from God, how maybe you're hearing us consistently say, let God lead you, let God speak to you, and you're not even sure if you hear from God, please feel free to reach out. I'll post my email in the link below, in the kind of comments and stuff. Also, if you just have comments or questions, please post those. You can email me as well with that. I just appreciate you guys, like JP said, just being courageous, being bold, just to listen, to hear, let God speak to you. We love you guys. And sadly, JP is going to be going back to the UK in a couple days. So I'm still hoping, though, to possibly get to do some more podcasts with her over Skype. She's just been such a blessing to my life, and God just moves through her. So thank you guys for listening. I hope you have a great and wonderful, joy-filled day, and I will catch you next time.
Bye.